Proverbs 29, verse 1 and verse 23, the Word of God says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. A man's pride will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Proverbs 1, 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Once the tribulation period starts, many will humble themselves and be saved. But there are even a greater number who will continue to rebel against God and against the Lamb who was slain for our sins, but rose again, Jesus Christ. So far in our study in the book of Revelation, we have seen the opening of six seals and the unfolding of madness on the world. Who is worthy to stand and take the seal and open it? The Lamb is worthy. Not who is willing to take it and tell us what's going to happen in the future, but who is worthy to take the scroll from God the Father's hand. The scroll has these seals on it, seven seals, and six of them have been opened where we take up our study today in Revelation chapter 8. Take your Bible and turn there if you will, please. The book of Revelation, the unveiling, the revealing of what's going to take place on earth in the future. During this time of tribulation, there are 144,000 sealed Jewish evangelists who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has saved them from their sin in the tribulation period. Sealed means you can't put them to death. Satan is going to be really frustrated with this group of 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And just as the gospel, the good news started with Jewish believers, it again will start with Jewish believers in Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, the Savior, God in human flesh, and they will evangelize the whole world. And if they don't get it covered, an angel will be sent to give the gospel in even the remote places of the earth. Everyone will have a chance to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the tribulation period. In fact, since we, the believers in Revelation chapter 4, are caught up in the air to meet the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be viewing what's taking place on earth. We're going to be up there singing and dancing in joy, leaping for joy to be in the presence of the Lord. And as waves of believers come in, we're going to be walking and leaping and praising God that someone else has trusted the Lord as their Savior. You know, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one person who repents of their sin and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you got saved, all of heaven started celebrating in praise of God, who is the only one who could have paid for our sins, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we're standing there, having already been raptured in Revelation chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that a trump of God will blow, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we, in a, not even a blinking of an eye, even a twinkling of an eye, will be caught up to meet them in the air. So Jesus won't manifest himself on the earth. Believers will be caught up in the air. Millions of people will disappear. I understand from the Barna survey of those who profess to know Christ as their Savior, 50% think Jesus sinned. another 30% think it's okay if Mary wasn't a virgin. And if you get down to those who believe everything that the Bible says about Jesus Christ, of the 100% that are professing to know Christ as their Savior, which I think is like 72 million people in America, only 10% actually believe the Jesus of the Bible. Therefore, Jesus warns, many will say unto me in that day, didn't we in thy name do many wonderful works? Well, folks, I got to tell you, if your faith is in your performance versus the performance of Jesus Christ, you're not a true believer. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes your sin on his account on the cross, and he places his righteousness into your account. And that's salvation. Amen. I'm so glad to be a child of God at 27 years of age. I gave up depending on myself, and I gave my full dependence, my faith on Jesus Christ. And I came to this conclusion. If Jesus Christ can't save me, then I'm going to be damned. But I read the Bible. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe the word of God. Not only I believe about the past, I believe God's going to take care of me today. I believe I can't die unless God wants me to. And I also believe that when I do die, if I do die, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord immediately. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is how martyred saints, that means put to death for their faith in Christ, made it through death. They realized, if you kill me here, I'm just going to be in the presence of the Lord before my head hits the floor. Because that's the chief way in which Christians die in the tribulation period, by beheading. By the way, what's the favorite way to kill a person by the Muslim? By beheading. Just throw that in there for you. So folks, there's going to be some trouble coming upon the earth, and then there's going to be some great trouble. It's called the tribulation period, and the last 3.5 years are called the great tribulation period because there's going to be greater trouble. While these 144,000 Jewish evangelists are spreading the gospel all over the world, many of the new believers are going to be put to death, and they ascend right up into heaven. And then they pray for justice on the earth against their attackers. It's not wrong to pray for justice. God is a God of justice. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. But he's holy. We're not to run from his holiness, we're to run to it. Remember that. Plagues of pestilence. Imagine 9 or 10 the COVIDs going across the nation or the world. We're only dealing with one. Not as large as some think, but still killing people. Just like the flu, right? Yes or no? Okay. How about a number of them? Plagues of all types, pestilences, strong and multiplied earthquakes, while great famine grows at the same time. Thousands of broken stars, we would say asteroids, become fireballs falling from the sky, piercing the darkness and impacting the earth. So great tribulation means a lot more trouble coming. I'm not afraid of the tribulation period because I realize the Bible tells me in Revelation 4, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the tribulation period starts. And if you believe 1 Thessalonians 1:10, how many of you believe the Bible today? Say amen. Amen. It says God will deliver us from this time of wrath. God also reveals what's going on in the hearts of men who are left behind on the earth. Romans 3:16-18 says, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And so we're about to see in the record of John's vision even further hardening of men's hearts against the Lamb. The Lamb's Jesus. The one who suffered and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again. And he's worthy to be praised. He is God in human flesh. But since their hearts have become even harder since the rapture of the church, they are prepared to follow the Antichrist with passion and purpose. And if you don't think Bill Gates is not following the Antichrist right now with passion and purpose, you don't know his agenda. He's for the slaughtering of the innocents and for the putting to death of older people at a certain age. And I wonder if that age keeps rising the older he gets. How many of you know that's true? Oh, I think 70 is good until I'm 70. Oh, I think maybe 80 is good until I'm 79 and a half, you know. This is how these people think. And they're dangerous. But you know what? God reigns over all. When it comes right down to it, folks, we're either following the Savior or we're following Satan. In the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, called the Great Tribulation, there will be more terrifying, catastrophic things happening because God's pouring out His wrath on those who've rebelled against Him. There is a payday someday. Now let's review before we get into the text. The first seal that was opened is a man riding on a white horse who brings temporary peace. He's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. Then they're going to build that temple for the Jewish people to worship. They're going to find out later they've been fooled. How many of you know Jewish people can be fooled? They can be fooled. How many of you know black people can be fooled and following Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with caring about black people, by the way? How many of you know they can be fooled? You better read up on things before you start putting money toward it. What are they actually teaching? They're teaching a redefinition of the family. Not husband and wife and kids, no. Teaching a redefinition of God as your creator. You can just be whatever you feel like. If you feel like you're a woman one day, that's okay. If you feel like you're a man the next day, that's okay too. Whatever you feel like. Isn't that sad, folks? That's the end result of a society, an education of a people that have moved away from God. That's what you get. You have a sexual revolution, then you have a homosexual revolution, then you have the insanity of thinking that you're something that you're not. That's Romans chapter 1, and that's what we're living in today. So we better go back to God. In the beginning, created the heaven and the earth, male and female created He them. See, it just solves so many problems if you believe God. And everything else is a lie. So the first seal comes riding on a white horse. This is the Antichrist trying to picture Christ. He signs a temporary peace treaty with Israel. By the way, the rapture's already happened. And the second seal, a red horse and a horseman representing war and bloodshed. Just walking down the street and kill somebody for the fun of it. That's the type of bloodshed that's going to take place. The third seal is a black horse. And that represents global famine. You know, when you start taking away people's food, they might change their mind. That's going to happen in the tribulation period. The fourth seal, when that's opened up and read what's going to take place, a pale green horse comes riding out. He represents pestilence, COVIDs of all kind of types, viruses, diseases, and earthquakes and death. The fifth seal's open. And this is we see the prayers of the martyred saints. In other words, those saints who trusted Christ as their Savior at the beginning of the tribulation period, they're now in heaven and they're before the throne of God and they're praying for justice. How long, O Lord, are you going to wait to exercise justice or your vengeance on those who took our life and blasphemed your name? They're praying that. So that has to be a proper prayer for the church. Yes or no? But the greater prayer, by the way, is, Lord, open their eyes to see who you are now before the tribulation period. You know what the tribulation period is? It's God's final working in the hearts of men that they would turn from their sin, believe upon Christ, so they wouldn't have to go to hell. That's what the tribulation period is about. In the fifth seal here, the prayer of the martyr saints who are seeking justice are ascending before the throne of God, and they're like incense before the golden altar. The sixth seal, we realize, is a total eclipse of the sun and moon. The sun turns black and the moon turns blood red. And all the ash flying up from the earth from these asteroid or broken stars hitting the earth covers them in darkness. Boy, just think of that. Somebody said, this sounds like a movie, a sci-fi movie. Where do you think people who make things up get it from? They get it from the truth. That's where they get it from. And then the seventh seal is open. And when it's broken and read what's going to take place, we see that in the seventh seal, there are seven trumpets and seven bowls to be poured out. So in the seventh seal, you got two sevens taking place. This starts the great tribulation. The last 3.5 years of the 7-year period. Again, folks, who's worthy to unveil what's going to take place in the future? The Lamb is worthy. Are we getting close? Could the rapture take place today? Would the tribulation period be very soon thereafter that? Yes. Christ then promises that he's going to return with his bride 1,000 to reign after this 7-year period and reign on the earth for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne, just as he promised. Christ will return just as he said. Christ resurrected from the dead, just as he said. Christ will bring us back with him to reign on the earth for 1,000 years, just as he said. He promised it in Revelation chapter 20. And he plans to allow us to reign with him as co-regents in his new kingdom. Now that's amazing grace. Have you thought about or contemplated this in the Lord's promise in Ephesians 2:7? He says in Ephesians 2:7 that this is what God has in store for those who have believed upon Christ. That in the ages to come, that's our entire future, he will show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, God is going to show his amazing grace and kindness in the ages to come. 1,000 years go by, 2,000 years, 10,000. 10,000 years and we just started. We're talking about an eternal being. And in the ages to come, God is going to show us his exceeding mercy and grace because we trusted Christ. Boy, I just can't wait to see some of these things. It's going to be awesome. That's Ephesians 2:7. But remember, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or brag about it. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Our good works are just an expression of our good God. All God's people say, amen. Revelation chapter 8, we're looking at verses 1 through 6 today, entitled, A Holy Hush in Heaven, the Opening of the Seventh Seal. A holy hush in heaven. Father, calls us to understand your truth today. We thank you, Lord, that you're in control of all things and you sit on the throne, ruling in righteousness, having mercy upon anyone who will call upon your name for salvation, even the most wicked of sinners. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, you have to act out in your righteousness and justice if they deny who you are, if they don't want your righteousness, if they rebel against in their own sin. Justice will be served. It's true. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I believed upon you and no longer a rebel in my heart. I want to live in your righteousness, Lord, and enjoy it. I want to partake of your holiness. I want to live in joy. I want to promote and give out the gospel, life to everyone. I want to live it and I want to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some dramatic events that take place on this seventh seal that's opened in Revelation chapter 8. There's about a half hour of silence, maybe 25 minutes, because it's not exactly a full half hour, about a half hour of time. Now, before this silence takes place and begins the last half of the tribulation period, the great tribulation, what's happening in heaven before that? Well, Revelation 4, 10 and 11 tells us that there's much singing, praising of God, and then there's prayers. Revelation 4, 10 through 11. And the 4 and 20 elders representing the believers fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. What is wrong with starting today? Before you even get out of bed, you know, one eye open, one eye trying to get open, and say, Lord, You created me for Your pleasure, and I pray I would bring You pleasure today. God created us for His own enjoyment. That ought to get you going right in the day, hadn't it? Think about it. Revelation 5, 11 through 12. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And these beasts, these created angel-type beasts with four different faces. And the elders representing the believers. And a number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands all around the throne of God. He's in heaven looking at this. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb, there it is again, that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And if you've got any blessing of God, it came through Jesus Christ. Blessed, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in this sphere in Christ. Outside of Christ, little blessings. In Christ, all the blessings. And the best is yet to come. And it's going to be forever. It's going to be good and gooder and gooder. I guess that's proper English. Maybe not. But it's good truth. Amen. What's going to happen when we enter heaven? Well, in chapter 4, we find out there's lightning and flashing and rolling thunder. As we look upon Christ, His face is shining above the brightness of the sun. He's got stars in His hand representing the churches. His clothing is brilliant, dazzling white, resplendent glory. He's got a golden girdle or belt across His chest. He is the high priest, the only one that can bring us before God. That's why He's dressed that way. And His feet are burning like fine brass, meaning judgment. And as He moves and speaks, it sends off a thundering roll, peal of thunder and lightning crashing upon the earth. Boy, when God speaks, things happen. If you believe, you know, the Bible won't do you one bit of good unless it's mixed with your faith. I believe what God says. That's when it's effectual. The Bible says our prayers are effectual. Righteous is position. If we are righteous in Christ and we pray according to God's will, it works a powerful influence on the earth. In chapter 5, we see loud singing of the saints. I heard some loud singing before I came out here. And I enjoyed some loud singing on that last hymn. Colton did an excellent job singing, praising the Lord. Loudness. How many of you like loudness? Somebody say, please turn that mic down. It's loud in heaven. Loud. It's loud. None of this cowardice singing in Walmart. Jesus have... No, it's a, man, you're just robust. Boom. The world's robust about what it feels about, and they're singing, have you noticed? We ought to be too. Heaven's going to be loud singing and praising. Chapter 6, there's the cries of the martyrs before the throne of God, praying for justice. And in chapter 7, imagine this again. Millions of martyred saints waving palm branches and shouting, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, as millions of people pour into heaven. We're watching it. We're watching them come out of the tribulation. They got saved, they were put to death, and here they're just rolling into heaven. And we're sitting there watching them. That's going to happen. That is going to happen. So all of heaven's been filled with praising and singing and praying before God. And then all of a sudden, I noticed some people got really mad at our president when he just gets tired of them. Chop, 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 chop. He just goes, be quiet. That could really make some people mad. How many of you like to be told? Hey, when God tells us, he puts his finger up to his mouth and then points to the earth. Imagine 1 minute going by. Let's just try it for 15 seconds, a total silence. Let's just try it. Yeah, 15 seconds, maybe. Think about 25 minutes of that. There's a pause in the music for a reason. Well, something bad's about to happen. What's it called? It's called the Great Tribulation. That's where we pick up. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Wow, holy hush. What is God going to do here in this holy hush? He's going to prepare us for that great tribulation. And this is what God promised, by the way. You know, don't go around trying to correct every wrong that takes place on the planet, by the way. You're going to be running around your whole life if you do that. The Bible tells us how to respond when we're done wrong in some fashion. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. While you're trying to get revenge on someone else, you're probably not doing good for everybody else. Have you noticed that? Don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. I know I was done wrong, but I'm not willing to retaliate. Why? Because it's written, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And then in verse 21, he says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. If somebody wants you to join a bandwagon of evil, you're going to be overcome and enslaved by that evil. If hatred rises up into your heart because of someone's skin color, you're in sin. I'll tell you what cures this whole racial tension thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That'll cure it. Right. Every person's the same. Sinner who needs to be saved. So the time of the Lord's pouring out of his wrath has come. The seventh seal starts the last 3.5 years of the greater tribulation. Seven trumpets and seven bowls. Look at verse 2. When I saw the seven angels, you can circle that word, the, because that means the definite article means that there are, these angels are distinguished from other angels. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, that means continually standing before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, I'm not going to go outside the Bible. I could for evidences in Jewish culture about who these seven angels are, but we do know two of them, so I'm going to stay with the Bible. There are seven. They're called archangels, and your Bible reveals two of them. How many of you know who the two archangels are revealed in the Bible? One is
Michael,
and the other is
Gabriel.
Which one gave the announcement to Zacharias that your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby, though she's past the natural age of giving birth? Which one? It was Gabriel. Luke chapter 1 says, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you the Messiah is coming, and you're going to have a child, Zacharias, you and Elizabeth. And his name, how you like this? How many love if the Lord just named the children? Amen. His name's going to be called John. Tell Elizabeth what his name is. Jonathan, did you try that with your children? Tell Elizabeth what the name is. No? Okay. You kind of worked on it together a little bit. Okay. Well, the Lord told Zacharias, tell Elizabeth his name's going to be called John. John the Baptist. Elizabeth was cousin to Mary. John was going to be a forerunner, speak before Jesus came, going to be a man of the desert, clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt or girdle about his waist. He's going to be a wild man as far as looks are concerned, long hair. We wouldn't let him in our pulpits today. He looks too crazy. Yes or no? He's going to come and he's going to be a voice in the wilderness. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. And 6 months, 6 months later, another lady was going to be expecting a child, but she was a virgin, knew no man. She was promised to marry a man, but she wasn't married yet. They had no physical relations. Therefore, the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin. Yeah, you better believe the Bible. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, after 3 days rose again. That's God in human flesh. Have you believed upon him? That's the message of the gospel. He's the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These seven angels, amen. These seven angels are standing there, and I didn't realize they were there till I read the text. Hey, listen, folks, these seven angels are standing there. They've been standing there the whole time the book of Revelation's been revealed. We just didn't know it. By the way, there's angels all in the building today. And I don't mean the person beside you. Yeah. You know, as I'm preaching the Word of God, that's why I always want to pray for the ministers as they're preaching the Word of God. Because ministering spirits are given to the believers to believe the truth. Even though they might be fearful about things, they're ministering spirits. Believe the Word, believe the Word, believe the Word. But there's also fallen angels, they're called demons, and they're whispering to you, don't believe it. Don't believe it. You better go check out what Oprah Winfrey says, that Jesus is not the only way of life. Don't believe what that preacher's saying, folks. If Oprah Winfrey doesn't repent of her sins and believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, she will die and go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And that's why God has given us this revelation to show us, to teach people and tell people the truth so they'll be set free from their sins and don't have to go to hell, but we'll have a place in heaven. You say, Pastor, along this revelation, some scary books. From chapter 6 to 19, it talks about the trouble coming on the earth. I said, yeah. Well, that's so people won't go to hell. That's what it's all about, turning people to the Lord. The tribulation period, 7 years, hell's forever. Let us keep that in context when we study it. These seven archangels means they're the highest rank and strongest in power. Michael and Gabriel, as we know, are two of them. Order of angels are seraphim. Genesis 3:24, they're burning ones. They're reflecting the glory of God, and they're burning ones. By the way, you have a flame above you. And those in the darkness, they know if you're a believer. They see the flame. Acts. You've got a flame. You're one of the burning ones in the darkness. They know who you are. That's good stuff. Then there's the cherubim, Isaiah 6, 2. You know what they do? They just, the whole time, they're just doing this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's their function. That's what they do, cherubim. Then there's these archangels. They stand in the presence of the Lord. And they got their hand on the trumpet. And they're ready to blow it. Got their hand on the trumpet, and they are ready to blow it. Now, if you don't believe what God announces, then he sends a little judgment along. What happened to Zacharias, by the way? He wasn't able to speak. Oh, well, my wife's passed the natural. Okay, boom. Now you can't talk till you believe it. What's his name going to be? What happened to you in the... While you were in there in the tabernacle, Zacharias, he's motioning with his hand. He finally gets the, what's his boy's, you're going to have a child. What's his name? John. Wow. As soon as he gave that out, the Lord allowed him to speak again. There's going to be that trumpet sound one day, folks. It's going to sound. And then in verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before the Lord, and we're given them seven trumpets. There were given unto them seven trumpets. Are you ready for that? Anybody hear that? That's three. Four. Five. Seven. That's going to be a sweet time. That's after the silence. I'm looking for another trumpet. It's called the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, who do you think is blowing that trumpet? Listen to this. I don't know if you ever picked up on it before. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That's rapture, Latin word for rapture. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. All God's people say, amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, 52, Paul mentions the last trumpet. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but trumpets in the Bible are more about sounding alarms or making announcements than they are for playing music. I wish that Zach Vandalin was here today. I'd have had him blow that horn seven times up here, but he's gone for now in school, so we'll see. In the Apostle Paul's day, the Roman army was called together for battle by the first trumpet. And while the last trumpet, which made a deeper sound, signaled them to end the battle and come back. If they didn't hear that last trumpet, they kept fighting and they would fight to the death. I wonder if we're willing to fight to the death about what we believe about. Trumpet sounds were given. Exodus 19, 19. When God gave the law, the trumpet sounded long and grew louder and louder. Louder and louder and louder, and you were shaking in your boots. Don't cross the line. If you cross the line stepping into God's holiness underneath His holy law based upon your own efforts, you're going to die. Don't let your animals cross the line either. That's Mount Sinai given the law. It got louder and louder and louder, and the trumpets were blowing. Lightning was flashing. The cloud of God came down. and you'll be shaken in your holy boots. God hates sin, but he loves us who've sinned against him. That's why he sent his son to die on a cross for us. Exodus 19:19, when the law was given, again the trumpet sounded louder and louder and louder. In Joshua chapter 6, remember this? Before the walls of Jericho fell down, the priests blew the trumpets to warn the inhabitants. The seven trumpets were blown for 6 days. They walked around. Nobody said, remember, nobody said a word. Shh. Going to walk around the city, blow the seven trumpets for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. Not one bomb, not one fire, blowing of trumpets. The walls fell down. By the way, that's how walls are going to fall down in our culture, by prayer and dependence upon God's word, not by bullets. The Old Testament prophets connected the sounding of trumpets with the day of the Lord and his outpoured wrath. Zephaniah 1:16, Zechariah 9:14. Got to hurry, got a lot of pages here. How many of you know I hardly get through my messages? What trumpet will you hear first? The rapture or the tribulation trumpet? If you know Christ, you're going to hear the rapture trumpet. If you don't know Christ, you will go through the great tribulation. And that's why we need to tell the people the truth that the tribulation, justice is coming upon the earth, and you best escape the wrath of God now by believing on his son. That's a good evangelist. One who talks about hell in his presentation. And offers heaven as God's place of safety, peace, eternal joy, and forgiveness of all our sins. In Revelation chapter 8, we see a dead silence has taken place. We see the special angels, these seven trumpets in their hand, and the prayers of the saints are beginning to ascend up to God. Look at verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, which is a bowl. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, we've got to understand Old Testament worship to understand this. As you go into the holy of place, right before the Holy of Holies is this golden altar. And that's where Zacharias was, offering the prayers to the Lord. The veil was there, and then behind it was with the very presence of God, Holy of Holies. By the way, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom, and man can go right to God now through faith in Jesus Christ. Before that time, no one could come into the presence of God. Are you aware of that? We can freely go into the Lord's presence now through Christ and offer our prayers that he promises to hear. These prayers, these incense, offered are symbolizing the prayers of all believers of all time. You would take hot coals off of the altar as you came in, and then you would sprinkle these incense on top of it. And what it would do, it would begin to fill up the whole building, and it would ascend up into a white smoke. And God said these prayers offered up to him are a sweet-smelling, Ephesians even tells us, a sweet-smelling aroma unto God. He's pleased with it. God is pleased when we come to him, talking to him and praising him and asking him for things in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. If you want to show love to me, love my children. Huh? Anybody got children here? That's a good, sure way to show you love somebody if you love their children. Listen, God loves his son. And when we come in his name, boy, he's happy about that. After the sinless lamb was offered, the two priests would take take hot coals, ashes from the golden altar. They entered into the holy place just outside the Holy of Holies. One priest filled his golden saucer or censer with the grains of incense, the other with hot coals. Then the grains of incense were sprinkled over these hot coals. This pleasant aroma filled the air and waffled its way upward into the nostrils of God. Psalm 141, 1 through 4. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice. When I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. I surrender to you, Lord. I know Baptists don't raise their hands. Yes, they do when they're surrendered. All I am and all I have is totally surrendered to you, Lord. Whatever you want to do in my life, I yield it to you. I dedicate it to you. Good way to start the day, amen. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. When it's time to close the mouth, let us close the mouth and listen to God. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let me not even be encouraged or solicited to sin with their sins. This is not just the prayers of these martyred saints that are in heaven, but prayers of all believers of all time. My son had a shirt on when we were driving down there to Bob Jones. Don't quit. Big bold letters. And then Luke 18:1 on the bottom. He spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're supposed to be praying through as believers, no matter what we're facing. We're supposed to be praying through. Don't lose heart. Pray to God. He's listening. Mark 11:23 and 24. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatever surpassing thing, hard to move, the situation, that's what a mountain represents, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Wow, that's power. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's praying according to God's will. That's praying for the advancement of the gospel. John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. How many of you had a prayer answered recently? Was that joy? You know what? We have not because we ask not. If we ask just to consume it upon our lust, we're probably not going to get it. But if we ask for things to benefit and grow and help other people, our own relationship with the Lord, we're probably going to get it. Think of it. Every cry out to God, every frustration brought before His throne, every praise given to His glory, every surrender uttered by His children, every impatient request for His will, every longing uttered for relief, every anguish cry for His will, every plea for justice and equity, every hope to God, and God has heard them all. You know, so God is saying, listen, I want you to pause and I want you to think, your prayers have power with God. I'm encouraged to pray by reading this. God seems closer when I pray, some theologian said. Can't read it all for time's sake, but those people are cursing God inwardly. They're causing trouble to the believers. We got to get our expectation from the Lord. He's our only rock, our only salvation. He's our strength. He's our place of safety. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now stop talking and think about that for a while. Turn off your TV and all the fear-mongering and start facing God. Look to God. If I didn't have God, I would be afraid. We should be afraid if we didn't have God, but we do have God. When God takes that golden censer and He slams it down on the earth, man, that's powers like a shockwave across the earth. That's our prayers. Justice will be served one day, as the Lord said. All the ungodly with all their ungodly deeds are going to be met in the tribulation period and then in hell itself. Judgment is coming toward rebel hearts toward God. But can't we pray in mercy for the rebel heart to repent and become righteous before God through faith in Christ? Wouldn't that be greater? And the answer is yes. And that's why God sends trouble on the earth. So men and women, children will turn to him in faith. But be careful what you ask for. You know, you might get in an argument with someone and say, I wish you would go to, because you're angry. Now, how many of you are glad you don't get yes to every one of your requests? Huh? Because our mind and our emotions not right at the time. Yes? God will send the justice. He's promised it. But folks, wouldn't it be a greater work if rebels, like we were in the past, were turned into those who had a relationship with God's love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And they were like a lamb that could just lay before the shepherd, knowing that the Father would totally care for them, and they don't have to burn down any buildings to show their rebellion. Wouldn't it be a greater thing for men to be saved? You don't have to hate anybody in any culture, any skin colors, or any religion, even when they're wrong. You know why? Because men and women were created in the image of God for His glory, and that's the basis for respecting every person. And on that basis, you need to tell them, God created you for His own glory, but Satan has tried to rob that glory. In doing so, we've all sinned. Me too. This is how you witness. I've sinned against the Lord more times than I can remember. But God in His mercy sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins. And I've placed my faith in Him. And now I'm a child of God. Wouldn't you like to be one too? Ephesians 3:20-21. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, right where we are, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. All God's people say, Amen. Notice again in verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense. He should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and he cast it to the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. I am looking for the sound of the trumpet, but it's the rapture trumpet. And when that happens, I'm going to be standing in heaven, and one day I'm going to view this, and you will too if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm so glad that God has delivered me from the wrath to come, that I want to go around and I want to tell other people about it. We would do ourselves a great service if we would stop doing so much talking about what's going on the earth and start listening to God, listening to His heartbeat, listening and doing His will. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason, to listen twice as much as we speak. And if we do speak, let it be the oracles or the truth coming out of God's mouth, what He says. Then we'll know we're speaking rightly. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the truth that sets us free from fears and falsehoods and lies. You told us to cast our total burden upon You, and You would sustain us. This poor man cried, And the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles. Thank you for that, dear Lord. Thank you that you're a good shepherd and you care for the sheep so much that you gave your life for every one of them to live with you. May more people, dear Lord, come to knowledge of the truth through our witness so that they might be delivered from the wrath of the tribulation and from hell itself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone, and you're dismissed.